Looking for your next favorite podcast? Start here.
The Buffalo, New York Pan American Exhibition in 1901, women were encouraged to attend classes such as the washing of flannels, scouring woodwork, cleaning knives and silver household utensils, and bed making.
It had two knobs, and it was about the size of an iPad. But of course, Cave Baby had never seen an iPad before, or a screen before, or even anything plastic before. So she was pretty confused.
But I also think Cincinnati Opera just puts on fantastic performances.
They do.
And they really get amazing, amazing artists to just do what they love. And it's really enjoyable to see them.
Welcome to this week's episode of the WVXU Discovery Podcast, Start Here. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Get set for a quick overview and sample of three podcasts today, two national and one locally produced, to help you navigate the ever-growing world of the podcast phenomenon. Plus, we're introducing the all-new Start Here Blast weekly e-newsletter. You'll get a personalized email with a podcast we feature on Start Here. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here Blast email from the bottom of the page. Also, now you can rate Start Here on iTunes. And if you're a fan, a 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. So don't forget to rate us on iTunes today. And now, with special thanks for technical assistance from Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and writing research and curation support by Connor Eldridge, it's time to Start Here. Our first podcast this week dives into the biggest ideas and movements that have helped shape our world. From the Harvard Divinity School, Ministry of Ideas is a little podcast about big things, with in-depth and foreign conversations on such topics as cannibalism, race, self-image, and more. Ministry of Ideas investigates and illuminates the ideas that have shaped our society throughout history. Each episode, host Zachary Davis welcomes guest experts from all over the world to talk about a wide range of subjects, some old, some new, all important. If you love to listen to smart people talk about big ideas, this podcast is for you. In this sample, a recent episode of Ministry of Ideas called Tomorrow Today. In the episode, the week's ministry discusses one of the earliest precursors to a global society, the World's Fair. They explore how the fair's intended purpose of celebrating industry, imperialism, Western supremacy, and progress actually created unexpected movements and critiques of those things. In this clip, the ministry describes the oppressive hypocrisy that perpetuated in the fairs that would lead to counter-resistance.
The people on display were forced to practice distorted or exaggerated versions of their customs to heighten the sense of otherness. For example, one Filipino tribe ate dog meat only occasionally for ceremonial purposes. But during the fair, they were fed canines every day. What's worse, the individuals displayed in these exhibits were considered expendable resources.
Several Filipinos died on the fairgrounds, which is not uncommon. Any of these fairs that feature exhibits of people from the colonial possessions, it's quite commonplace. The government had actually expected about 40 Filipinos to die as a result of their experience at the fair. One of the world's most famous physical anthropologists, a man named Dalit Shurdlishka, who was at the Smithsonian Institution, was dispatched. He essentially removed their skull caps, removed their brains, and offered them to American museums. I believe they eventually wound up at the Smithsonian. So the fairs themselves have this laboratory effect. They really become hunting grounds, quite literally, for anthropologists to gather specimens.
Near the exhibit of Filipino migrants, a teenage African pygmy named Oda Benga drew crowds of his own. Benga, who had been purchased from slave traders for display at the fair, was kept in a cage and advertised as a cannibal. You can hear more about fears of cannibals in episode 13 of our show, Consumed. Western superiority was communicated in other, more subtle ways as well. For example, while Western countries' pavilions tended to showcase cutting-edge architecture and technology, non-Western pavilions were often based on older, more traditional forms, in effect freezing them in time and denying them a role in shaping the future. Women were also excluded or exploited. Early fairs banned women's exhibits entirely. When they were finally allowed, displays tended to emphasize women's place in the home. At the Buffalo, New York Pan American Exhibition in 1901, women were encouraged to attend classes such as the washing of flannels, scouring woodwork, cleaning knives and silver household utensils, and bed making. Women also found themselves sexualized, but in different ways, depending on their race. At the 1893 Chicago World's Fair, white women walking alone were considered to have, quote, loose morals, while many foreign women of color were fetishized, including the wildly popular Egyptian belly dancer Farida Mazar. Yet within this racist and sexist context, some found ways to resist.
The fairs themselves become really interested, contested fields of play as people who are represented as being somehow inferior fight back in all kinds of ways.
At the 1904 St. Louis Fair, Native Americans were put on display in traditional clothing. They could earn some money by charging visitors to take their photographs, and they didn't let people cheat the system. If people tried to sneak in quick photos without paying, some Native Americans used handheld mirrors to reflect the sun into the eyes of the photographer or directly into the camera lens, ruining the shot. At several World's Fairs, Africans from various nations and tribes were displayed singing and chanting in traditional-sounding ways. But unbeknownst to their mostly white spectators, some Africans changed the words to ridicule the Western people and culture that had captured and exploited them.
From the podcast, Ministry of Ideas, a podcast from Harvard Divinity School. Learn more about the forces and ideas that shape the world we know today with Ministry of Ideas, available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. Next up, a new addition to the Podcast Central collection, and it's you and your kids' new favorite podcast. It's called Podikins, and it's a podcast for kids age 0 to 99. Podikins combines crazy characters with fun and exciting sound editing to create a podcast your children will never want to turn off. With creative family activities and awesome children's stories, it's a great show for the whole family. Listen on car rides, before bed, whenever you've got 10 minutes of free time. The episodes are quick and fun. Any kid of any age will enjoy them. Podikins is a perfect family activity. In this sample, a recent episode of Podikins, the title of the story is The Adventure of Cave Baby and the Magical Etching Device. With creative and amusing sound editing, in this clip, Podikins tells a fun story that your kids will love.
So Cave Baby spent a lot of time hanging out in the cave, exploring all its passageways and crevices. One day, when Cave Baby was exploring a new tunnel that was hidden behind a large stalactite, she came across the strangest thing. It was a square plastic object with a red edge and a gray screen. If you could even call it a screen. It had two knobs, and it was about the size of an iPad. But of course, Cave Baby had never seen an iPad before, or a screen before, or even anything plastic before. So she was pretty confused.
What is this wonderful piece of cage-age engineering?
She asked. She picked it up and turned one of the white knobs. When she turned the knob, a line appeared on the gray screen. So she tried turning the other knob. And that knob made the line go in a different direction. So she tried turning both knobs. And that made the line go every which way.
What is this magic etching device?
That sounds to me like it was maybe an Etch-a-Sketch.
Correct you are, James. That's exactly what it was. But, I mean, this is just a little cave baby we're talking about, so she had no idea what an Etch-a-Sketch was.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
That was Podikins, a family storytime podcast. For more stories your kids will love, check out Podikins, available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. Our local feature this week is a very cool podcast from Cincinnati called The Artfuls. The Artful seeks to connect young professionals to arts events in the area, arts organizations, and meaningful art-focused dialogue. In their podcast, The Artfuls explore the rich art scene of Cincinnati in an effort to reach a younger audience that might be unaware of its existence. They also talk about larger trends and insights into the world of art. And with guest interviews and up-to-date information, The Artfuls ensures you'll be in the know on all the latest arts news and events in Cincinnati. This sample, a recent episode of Artfuls' summer series titled A Great Opera Opportunity. In the episode, co-host Jackson Short welcomes Cincinnati Opera Development intern Jamie Kelly to talk about all the great shows available this summer, plus get her thoughts on two shows that have already played at the opera. Here's a sample from the Artful's summer series titled A Great Opportunity. In the episode, co-host Jackson Short welcomes Cincinnati Opera Development intern Jamie Kelly to talk about the great shows available this summer, plus get her thoughts on two shows that have already played at the opera. In this snippet, Jackson and Jamie share their thoughts on one of the recent operas showing at the Cincinnati Opera, La Traviata.
What did you enjoy? What did you enjoy most about La Traviata?
I really liked all of it. For me, just working behind the scenes and not really seeing the opera, it was just nice to kind of remember like why I'm working at the opera.
Do you think that's the reason why you are enjoying these operas when you didn't enjoy it before?
That may be part of it, just kind of seeing how it all comes together.
Sure.
But just the fact that like I see all these people performing like, you know, just randomly in the kitchen eating food or, you know, like here and there, or at like brunches or anything. It's nice to kind of see them in character and see how they transform themselves into their character and really are immersed in it.
Yeah.
But I also think Cincinnati Opera just puts on fantastic performances.
They do.
And they really get amazing artists to just do what they love. And it's really enjoyable to see them. And yeah, the artistic staff is always amazing as well. So
did you have a favorite part of the show?
I really loved any of the party scenes, you know, with like the full chorus and everything and just the elaborate costumes and the set and everything. I also really liked that ballet.
I knew that that was a part of the story. Were those people from the Cincinnati Ballet?
Yes. Yeah. So they were two people from the artists from Cincinnati Ballet. So,
that's great.
Which was actually really kind of cool to see that collaboration a little bit. So,
was there any part that you did not like? Because I can tell you one thing that went, I wouldn't say wrong, but something that caught my eye.
Mm.
And I don't know if you saw this because we were at the same performance.
Okay.
But one of the lights went out and kept on flickering during, I think it was the second act, maybe, in the garden. Mm. And I think it was like a green light that kept on flickering. And I was just captivated by that. I have no idea why,
really?
But I just kept on staring at it going, why is that happening?
Is that intentional?
Yeah, no. And it was really funny because then it stopped and I was like, oh, I'm watching an opera. Okay, hold on. And I looked back at the people and I was like, oh, what just happened? I missed it.
Oh, I actually didn't even notice.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I looked at, my friend Celia was with me. It was her first opera and I looked over her and I was like, do you see that? And she's like, shut up. And I was like, oh, I talked too much during performances.
Yeah, right. She didn't care.
No.
She was enjoying the story.
She was engrossed in the drama.
Yeah, right. Well, that's just cool, right? That, you know, it happens and things like that happen.
Yeah.
So if you can still enjoy the performance.
Well, it's the beauty of live performance.
Yeah, right. Things go wrong and, you know, you don't have... I know, that is what's so beautiful about opera and, you know, live theater and everything is like, you just... Whatever happens, happens, and you just have to go with it, and you don't have, like, someone with, like, I don't know, whatever, saying cut, you know, and you get to, like, redo the whole thing and pretend that it didn't happen, so, you know.
That's different than, actually, the first performance we went to together. We went to the American Originals, and they redid the last song.
Right.
Because they were recording it.
Right.
It was a live recording of this concert, at the part two of a concert series, and they had all the microphones on stage. They had a producer somewhere and they were recording it live. And evidently they didn't have the right take of the final song. So they redid it.
Right.
And I was like, I had been in that situation before with the Indianapolis Symphony, but it completely threw me off.
Right.
And I was like, oh, they can just redo something. And so, yeah, I thought that was interesting.
A sample from the Artfuls podcast, Cincinnati's best young professional arts podcast. Stay in the loop on Cincinnati's thriving art scene with the Artfuls, now available on Podcast Central. Hey, And before we wrap up this week's episode, let's take our weekly look at what's hot on the Apple Podcast charts via our friends at iTunescharts.net. Well, last week we highlighted the new podcast, The Wilderness. It debuted last week with a drop of 4 of the 15 episodes. Host John Favre of Crooked Media and 2UP hosts the documentary podcast about the history and future of the Democratic Party as it finds its way in the wilderness. Another recent number one podcast is inspired by the unusual collections and fascinating stories that fill the pages of history. It's Aaron Mankey's Cabinet of Curiosities. It's a twice weekly tour of the unbelievable, the unsettling, and the bizarre. And a recent number one on the Apple Podcast charts. That wraps up this episode of Start Here, WVXU's Discovery Podcast. And speaking of discovery, astronomical discovery, that is, you want to check out our newest original podcast, Looking Up, with Dean Regas and Anna Heyman. Dean's the outreach astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory and co-host of the PBS series Stargazers and author of the book Facts from Space. Anna's the observatory's director of development with an innate curiosity about the cosmos. That's Looking Up, now at WVXU.org. And if you're turning into a podcast junkie and just can't get enough, try these two new discovery resources, NPR's The Big Listen with Laura Ober. You get an audio peek into great storytelling podcasts. And for a more blog-like written review and recommendation, NPR has Earbud.fm. They use unique categories to help you discover podcasts with things like advice, do it like a lady, and big ideas. And of course, Jim Nolan, Kevin Reynolds, and the WVXU staff feature our favorites on Podcast Central at WVXU.org. That's where we'll add your recommendations if you just email us at podcast@WVXU.org or call 513-294-8030 and leave us a voicemail. I'm Trip Eldridge for WVXU. And thank you for choosing to start here.